What's the best way to get to South Africa on points? The answer might be different for you depending on what airport you're starting from. If you're looking to find the best points route to South Africa or anywhere else, check out AwardLogic, which will show you the best available points routes between any two airports. And it works with multiple markets, with points currencies available for US, UK, and Australian points. Check out AwardLogic to get a free trial by going to geobreezetravel.com/awardlogic. Thank you to AwardLogic for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
You have to drive on the left side of the road.
Yeah, so you have to drive on the left side of the road. So that's the first time I've ever driven on the left side of the road, sitting on the right side of the car.
He only messed up the blinker and the windshield wipers like every time. So.
Yeah. And then I came back to the US and, you know, started driving on the right side of the road, on the left side of the car. And then I got the blinkers and the windshield wipers mixed up. I'd just gotten used to it. So yeah, that's a little bit of a learning curve, but honestly, it's not too bad. They have great, great infrastructure there. The roads are great. So yeah, I definitely, you know, if you go to South Africa, it's almost a requirement to rent a car. They don't have much of a public transportation system. And if you truly want to see South Africa, you know, that's the way to do it, is driving throughout the country.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Kyle and Kenz from Adventure Parks. Kyle and Kenz have been married for over 4 years now. During that time, they have traveled to more than a dozen different countries while experiencing luxurious business and first-class cabins and staying at incredible hotels and resorts, all almost exclusively with points and miles. They love all sorts of travel, from tropical island escapes to outdoor hiking adventures to immersive cultural experiences. In this episode, Kyle, Kenz, and I talk about their incredible trip to South Africa. We are talking flights, hotels, excursions, and how to do these types of trips if your main airport is a small airport and you have to plan around school schedules when you travel. One of the products we discuss in this episode is Q-Suites, which is a bucket list flight for many points and miles people. One of the best ways to book this product is with American Airlines Miles, and currently, the only flexible points currency that transfers to American Airlines is Bilt. If you're looking for a no annual fee that transfers to many different airlines and hotels, has fun and unique perks like giving away airline status on occasion, and even lets you earn points on rent, check out the Bilt card. I'm a senior advisor for their loyalty program, and I am so, so excited for all of the cool features that the card comes with. Remember, if you decide to apply for the Bilt card or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. If you are interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And we have the links to the Bilt card and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Hey, Kyle. Hi, Kenz. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, welcome. I'm excited to chat with you guys today about the trip that you took to South Africa. But before we jump into any of that, tell us a little bit about yourselves and your background, and how did you get into the world of points and miles?
Like you said, we're Kyle and Kenz. We've been married for over 4 years now. And since then, we've traveled to over a dozen different countries, I think
we're at 14 now.
Yeah, something like that. And it was pretty much all on points and miles, except for our very first international trip, which was our honeymoon. And that's kind of how we got into it. So the very first international flight either one of us had ever taken was 17 and a half hours from San Francisco to Singapore. We were on our way to the Maldives. And that was just no points. We kind of booked through, believe it or not, Expedia. And that seems crazy to think about now. But basically, we found a good flight deal to the Maldives, bundled with a hotel that had just opened. It was premium economy, and we thought we were living the life.
It was incredible.
Yeah, we have a really funny video, actually. We just got on board. We got a little plastic cup of champagne, and Mackenzie, what'd you say?
I was leaning back, drinking my champagne, and said, we're living the life.
And that was premium economy. So that's really funny now to think about. But how we actually stumbled into the points world. Well, after that trip, we had created a Singapore Airlines account. We didn't really know what we were doing. We suddenly realized we had something like 20,000 Kris Flyer miles. We're like, okay, what do we do with this? How can we use these for something? And so we kind of just started Googling and searching around different websites. And one that we came across, of course, was the big one, the points guy. And the reason why that caught our eye is because when we were actually looking at a review of Singapore Airlines Premium Economy before we booked it, it was a review by them. So then that kind of stumbled into it and we started looking at different ways to do it. You know, what's going to be the best card to open up? The Citi Platinum Select MasterCard with the sign-up bonus. And then we started working with the shopping portal and basically just using that card for everything, maximizing the shopping portal, Simply Miles, the dining program. And our very first points and miles redemption ended up being Japan Airlines First Class from JFK to Tokyo with American Airlines miles subs, 80,000 miles a person and $5.60 of taxes. So that was our very first redemption. And then, of course, from there, we were hooked. And since then, we've been...
We were addicted.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So since then, we've flown all kinds of different airlines, you know, some of the top airlines in the world, some of the top products, and gone all around the world. Honestly, it wouldn't be possible without points and miles.
Because you guys are based in Louisville, so not exactly a major airport. So can you talk a little bit about your strategies for how can you do all of these trips if you have to do a positioning flight every single time?
Yeah, so the positioning flight is a big thing that we have to do. And in fact, on that very first trip, our very first trip with points and miles, we had to position to New York because Louisville doesn't have any nonstops to JFK. So we just booked a separate flight from Louisville to LaGuardia. And we actually did 2 days in New York. Mackenzie hadn't ever been to New York before. So we did 2 days there and then took that flight to Tokyo. So that's been a common thing that we had to do. We've actually done a positioning drive before.
Which is the worst. If you get car sick.
Yeah, so Mackenzie gets car sick. So that wasn't the best, but we actually found Q Suites out of Chicago for a flight to Egypt. But there weren't any positioning flights available. This was like 3 weeks before our trip. There weren't any flights available. The connection times were horrible. And we actually had a free car day rental with National Car Rental. So we got that free car. We drove the 5 hours up to Chicago and flew out from there. So there's been all kinds of different strategies, but we kind of treat it as a way of, if it weren't with those positioning flights, there would be no way that these trips would be possible for us. Because if we were only searching from Louisville to pick a place, you know, Cairo or Cape Town, South Africa, you know, we might not find the options that we have available. Now, the great thing is for that South Africa trip, we did. But so our strategy is to kind of always search from a hub in the US to a big airport elsewhere. And we kind of limit that to the hubs that we can fly to from Louisville. But that those positioning flights make the trips happen for us for sure.
Are you usually flying United or American or Delta? What's your domestic positioning flight carrier of choice?
So it's generally American for a few reasons. American has the most nonstop options out of Louisville. So that kind of opens up the different hubs to us more. And then we also, you know, like I said, we started out with an American Airlines card for that reason as well, that they have the most options out of Louisville. So we have American miles that we can work with for the positioning flights. And if we don't use miles and we just book a cheap economy flight, I have gold status, and that's just by way of the loyalty point system from using the shopping portal, from using the credit cards. So it's kind of nice to get those upgrades, free main cabin extra seats and things like that. And we wouldn't necessarily have those benefits with the other carriers. But we have done a couple with Delta and United as well. So like if we were to connect through Washington Dulles, of course, we would fly United.
Are you guys much into points hotels as well, or do you mostly focus on flights with your strategies?
Yeah, so we definitely do points hotels as well. We have Marriott points and Titanium status there. And so we've had a really big redemption, and that was the Westin Maldives. 5 nights there for is 240,000 points is before they put in the dynamic pricing structure. So 240,000 points, you know, with that fifth night free. That was kind of, I think, would definitely be our biggest redemption. That wasn't our honeymoon. That was the second time we went back to the Maldives.
It's been 2 years, so I think it's time to go back.
Yeah, so we're always dreaming to go back to the Maldives, but we're also like, oh, there's so many other places in the world. But another good one that we did was the Mena House in Cairo, Egypt, right by the pyramids. I mean, you could see it from the windows. It's kind of crazy. And that one was only 20,000 points a night. So yeah, we're real big on the Marriott program. And the big thing with us is that you can find a Marriott hotel just about anywhere you go in the world. You know, some more remote places don't have them, but they definitely have the largest footprint of all the hotel brands.
For sure. I hear that Wyndham is actually catching up with them, but in the meantime, Marriott is still in first place for having the most properties worldwide.
Yeah, for sure.
So with all these trips that you take, what is it that you guys do? Do you do your Instagram full time? Because you have some amazing Instagram content. Or how are you getting vacation days if the answer is not full time Instagrammers?
Well, thank you. That's very nice. But we, Instagram is definitely a side gig for us. I'm an engineer full time, civil engineer. Mackenzie?
I'm a school nurse. So I work school schedule, have summers off, fall break, spring break. So we take full advantage of any days that I get off.
Does that make it a lot harder to find the award availability that you want to do? Because if you're mixing in school schedules plus having to do positioning flights and you're on a limited time schedule, so you can't just be like, oh, we'll fly whenever there's a good deal. Does that just make it a lot harder to do these award travel redemptions?
So before I was a school nurse, I worked in the hospital. So I was able to like front load and back load my week. So we were able to have I was able to work 3 days, have off the rest of the week, and then work 3 days at the end of the next week. So that made it a lot more flexible for us. Now, not so much.
Yeah, so now we're definitely working with the school schedule, but it has definitely made it a little bit more difficult. But the positioning flight, knowing that more often than not, we're going to have a positioning flight, actually makes it a little bit easier in that regard because we can kind of open up the airport options, our destination or our departure airports. And so instead of saying we can only fly out of Chicago, we can say, well, we can fly out of Chicago, DC, New York, Boston, Atlanta, any of those options. So it kind of helps with the searching process. Since we are a little bit more limited on dates now, we can kind of be a little bit more flexible on our departure city and then work backwards from there and get the positioning flight set up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know we have a lot of listeners who are either teachers or do something else within the school schedule and just kind of struggle with always trying to fly during busy season. So it can be done.
Yeah, and definitely the key is just to take advantage of all the different airlines that are out there, all the different partnerships, the alliances, and then also, you know, apply that positioning flight strategy. Even if you are based at a hub airport, you know, don't limit yourself to just that airport. You know, if you're based in New York and you find a good deal out of Chicago, well, there's plenty of flights from New York to Chicago and it can make that amazing redemption happen where it otherwise wouldn't.
So speaking of amazing redemptions, let's talk a little bit about this South Africa trip. So walk us through the entire planning process that you did. Did this start because you wanted to go specifically to South Africa? So you were looking at redemption options there, or were you just kind of like, I'll take whatever cool flight we can get. A deal popped up. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Yeah, I don't think we were actually planning for South Africa. This was only like a month and a half before. We had booked, was it Peru that we were going to?
Yeah.
This was December 2021.
Well, no, originally it was Australia, right?
Yeah, we were originally going to Australia. Of course, that didn't happen. And then we had booked Peru and then they had some crazy entry restriction changes and all that. So we canceled that. And that's kind of been our theme for the past 2 years is we've been booking things and canceling and rebooking. But honestly, I think I was just playing around with different flights and came across, I was looking for just like from Dallas to, I think it was just Dallas to Doha. I was kind of just saying, let's get that long haul flight and then figure out from there. And I just kind of jokingly searched to Cape Town, South Africa, and it came available as, you know, only like a 2.5 hour connection in Doha, so no long layover. So I was like, okay, let's fly Q Suites. We had never tried Q Suites before, and it was a 14-hour flight from Dallas to Doha, a 10-hour flight to Cape Town. So we're like, that's 24 hours in Q Suites. You know, that's plenty of time to experience it as much as possible.
That's when we flew backwards, right?
Yeah, so that's the thing about Q Suites is that if you're in the couple seats that turn into the double bed, you're actually flying backwards. And Mackenzie was definitely nervous about that. But I think you ended up being okay.
I didn't even realize it.
So I found that and I was like, okay, let me search Louisville to Cape Town and see if that becomes available. Well, it didn't. So then I searched Louisville to Dallas separately and there were Sabre awards. I went and verified with Expert Flyer and they met the connection time. So I put that Dallas to Cape Town on hold and then called American and asked if we could add that Louisville to Dallas onto it. Since, of course, you know, it's all Sabre awards, it wouldn't change the rate. They did that no problem. So that was fantastic to start out there because we didn't have to have any sort of positioning flight. It was all booked together, you know, seamless connections, all that kind of stuff. So that was the way there. On the way back, and that was booked with American Airlines miles. That was $75,000. And I believe it was around $18 of taxes. Super cheap, great redemption, especially for that, you know, amount of time flying and for it being Q Suites.
When you are calling American Airlines and asking, hey, can you just tack on this other leg to the trip? How does that work where they're not charging you any additional points for that? Or did they charge you extra?
So since it's a Saver award and there's a partner award, it follows the award chart, which is basically the zones. So it'd be north of or United States to Africa. So it's the set rate. Whereas if it was entirely American Airlines operated flight, of course, it would be the web special awards most likely where it's got the rates all over the place. So adding a domestic flight on would totally change the rate. But since it was a Sabre award all the way through and the partner award, it was the same exact rate because the zone doesn't change. It's still flying from the United States to Africa in business class. So that kept it the same, whether it's from Dallas to Cape Town or Louisville to Dallas to Cape Town. And that is one thing that whenever we first started out, American was a lot, they didn't have the web specials and all that. And so it was a lot more straightforward when we were first learning that basically the flight was available or it wasn't, and it was available at the rate on the award chart. So people are getting into it now. You know, if you go to the American Airlines site or even it's the same thing with United and Delta as well, you're going to see all these crazy rates all over the place. And the key, of course, is to find those partner awards. And those are going to be the ones that have the set rates and generally much lower as well.
And you said that you used a search engine to find these?
So for this flight, we were just searching through the American Airlines website. And like I said, we were searching from Dallas just because that's one of our connection hubs. But we did go to Expert Flyer to verify that the American flight from Louisville to Dallas was available as Sabre award, because that's the key on that is it has to be a Sabre award for it to be tacked onto a partner award. If it was a web special or if it was the, I think they call them the Advantage awards, those can't be added onto a partner award. So basically with Expert Flyer, we searched for an American Airlines Sabre award for that flight that would make that connection, verify that there were seats available. And then that's when we knew we could call American to add that on.
Very cool. How long was your trip to South Africa since you were working around the school schedule and everything?
That trip we had planned before I started at the school. So I actually got to take off like 2 weeks, like 2 months after I started at the school or something, because I had it planned before I took that job.
Yeah, because it was at the very beginning of December. Mm-hmm. And I mean, had we been planning that while you're working at the school, we probably would have done it.
You know, oh, yeah. It would have been
during winter break.
But the hospital won't let you take off after December 15th. So we were working in that first half of December. And then, of course, the school schedule is completely different.
Yeah, you took the new job and then it kind of flip-flopped everything. Yeah. So, yeah, it was, I think it was an 11-day trip.
11 or 12.
Yeah.
It was a week and a half or so.
Mm. So since you booked the outbound and the return flights separately, did you have to look them both up at the same time in order to book all of this? Or were you just kind of like, okay, let's book the ones going there and then let's see what happens when we look for return flights?
Yeah. So the great thing about the American Airlines program is that you can cancel award flights for free and get all the miles back. So basically we booked that as soon as we saw it, especially because it's Q Suites. And then we're like, okay, from there we have Amex points to work with. Let's look at our options. And the main thing, or the main program that we knew would be best, would be Air Canada Aeroplan. That's a program that we've booked a ton of flights with. And we just knew with South Africa that there's a ton of Star Alliance options getting there. Lufthansa, Swiss, and a few others. But the main one for us was the United flight. United flies nonstop from Newark to Cape Town. Now, initially, we didn't get to book that one. It wasn't available. We had booked Swiss back, transiting via Zurich. And then the Omicron variant happened, which, of course, you know, all the travel from South Africa got just not completely shut down. But this was about, I don't know, a week before it was Thanksgiving week when it happened. And we were leaving December 1st.
I think pretty much everyone thought we were crazy that we were still going. But yeah, we were determined to get there.
Yeah, because we were like, if flights are still flying, we're still going to go. So as it turns out, Switzerland wouldn't allow transit from South Africa. So we had to do a search again and make a change. Luckily, Lufthansa had flights. It wasn't ideal because they were going to require a PCR test just to transit. But you know, it's like, all right, we can get back. And Air Canada at the time wasn't charging anything for changes. Now I think it's about $50 for a change. But luckily, there was no charge, so we changed that. And then I think it was the second day that we were actually there in South Africa.
I remember laying in bed, like, wishing, praying for a direct flight home.
Yeah, we had set up expert flyer alerts for those nonstop United flights back. And it was like the second day, and we got the notification alert. And we're like, okay, we're booking that for sure. You know, got on the app, changed it real quick, no problem. And on top of that, so the original flight back to Chicago, the one with Swiss and then Lufthansa, we didn't have a flight back home to Louisville. We had to book a separate positioning flight, and we booked it with American Airlines miles. When we found Cape Town to Newark, we then searched Newark to Louisville, and United had economy availability. So then we were able to search Cape Town all the way back to Louisville, and it all showed up as one booking, which then we were able to just book that. We didn't have to worry about the positioning flight. We canceled the Chicago to Louisville flight, got our American Airlines miles back, and it just worked out perfectly there. So that's one of our favorite things about that trip, is that in the end, it was a little bit stressful that return, but in the end, it worked out like with a perfect flight, nonstop South Africa to Newark, you know, a 2-hour connection, flight back to Louisville, all in one booking. And that was 85,000 points transferred from Amex to Air Canada.
And Air Canada is great for any type of layover or anything because it's only 5,000 points. So did you have to use that at all, or you still were able to just get the whole thing on one ticket without doing the layover thing?
No, it was all one booking. So it was actually a mixed cabin booking, so that Newark back to Louisville was just an economy, but we didn't care about that. So it was just the 85,000 points, just as it would be without, you know, doing any sort of stopover.
Nice. For anybody who's in other parts of the country and they're like, okay, I really want to go to South Africa now, hat tip to Upgraded Points, who I know you guys have collaborated with in the past too. They have a really good article on some different routes. You could do Chicago to Ethiopia to Johannesburg, or Newark straight to Johannesburg by booking through Air Canada. If you have Alaska miles, you could do LA to Hong Kong to Johannesburg, or JFK to Hong Kong to Johannesburg on Cathay. Whenever they open back up, like you mentioned, there's American Airlines to Dallas, Fort Worth to Doha to Cape Town and Q Suites, or JFK to Doha to Johannesburg. ANA has options from Newark to Zurich to Johannesburg on Swiss. You could do Washington, D.C. to Ethiopia to Cape Town on Ethiopian Airlines. Asiana has stuff from Chicago to Zurich to Johannesburg and Swiss. There's a lot of options. So I know that South Africa is one of those places where people might be like, how much award availability is there? Like, really? But there's a lot of routes that go from the US there, as long as usually if you're willing to do a positioning flight to one of these other larger cities. But sometimes, like you mentioned with the American Airlines saver trick, you might be able to tack it all onto the same ticket.
Yeah, it's definitely way down there and it's a long travel time, but it's an amazing country.
It's so worth it.
Yeah, it's absolutely worth it. And, you know, there might be some creative booking you have to do with maybe stopping in Europe for a few days and then, you know, booking a flight down there. But there's, like you said, there's so many airlines that fly there.
So tell us about your experience on the ground in South Africa. Where did you stay? What did you do? What did you eat? If anybody's thinking about taking a trip there.
Yeah, so we ended up doing a road trip through not the entire garden route. So anybody that's done research on South Africa, the garden route is very well known, and it's beautiful. It kind of follows the south coast. The first couple nights we stay at the Westin in Cape Town. We didn't use any points for the hotels on this portion because honestly everything was pretty affordable. So there wasn't, you know, it wouldn't have been a very high value redemption with points. We'll say that. But Cape Town's a crazy beautiful city, super laid back. You know, as far as the, you know, Table Mountain and the V&A waterfront and all that. But I think Mackenzie will tell you her favorite part is a little bit south of Cape Town on Boulder's Beach.
The penguins.
The penguins. Yeah. So the penguins, the South African penguins, are definitely one of the coolest things. It's honestly, it's just a little local beach and there's penguins swimming around and
it was walking, like a dream.
Yeah. Walking in the sand. So that was one of the coolest parts for sure. But we drove and we stayed at the Garden Route Game Lodge for 3 nights. That was super cool. You know, a really cool little cabin. And then morning and night, we did game drives. What was your favorite animal, Kenz?
Oh, that's just not even a fair question. I think watching the yeah. cheetahs, like the mom was teaching them how to hunt. So just watching them grow and learn, that was really cool.
Yeah, we thought that we would get to see an actual, you know, the mom actually chase them and down some antelope. Never actually happened, but she stalked them for a long time. And that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then we went on to Plettenberg Bay and then to Mossel Bay and just a lot of really neat little small towns along the coast there. Very dramatic coastlines, so lots of rocky cliffs and huge waves. So South Africa has a little bit of everything. And that was just the garden route area. We didn't even get, you know, more towards Namibia, I believe, and the, you know, and Johannesburg and all that area. It's just a very diverse country, whole bunch of great scenic beauty and, you know, just really cool vibe all around, I would say.
We definitely always wish our trips were longer.
Yeah.
No trip is ever long enough.
What was the process of renting a car for South Africa to do this road trip?
It's pretty straightforward. We normally rent through National, and that's because with the Amex Platinum that we have, there's National Executive Status, and that has lots of great benefits. We've always had a good experience with National, but at Cape Town, they didn't have National. So the second choice was Hertz, because the Amex Platinum has Hertz Gold Status, I believe. So that gave us a little bit of discount, nothing too crazy, but it was basically, you know, through the Hertz app, selected a car and rented it. You just got to have a driver's license that's in English and valid.
You have to drive on the left side of the road.
Yeah, so you have to drive tricky. On the left side of the road. So that's the first time I've ever driven on the left side of the road, sitting on the right side of the car.
He only messed up the blinker and the windshield wipers like every time. So.
Yeah. And then I came back to the U.S. and, you know, started driving on the right side of the road, on the left side of the car. And then I got the blinkers and the windshield wipers mixed up. I'd just gotten used to it. So yeah, that's a little bit of a learning curve, but honestly, it's not too bad. They have great, great infrastructure there. The roads are great. So yeah, I definitely, you know, if you go to South Africa, it's almost a requirement to rent a car. They don't have much of a public transportation system. And if you truly want to see South Africa, you know, that's the way to do it, is driving throughout the country.
Is the city driving difficult at all within Cape Town?
Well, it's, you know, it's a big city, but it didn't feel like a big city, no. if that makes sense. I mean, it was pretty laid back. Of course, Google Maps is your best friend. You know, it definitely helps when you have somebody telling you which lane to be in and which way to turn, and, you know, not knowing.
And that's definitely not me. That's Google Maps.
Yeah. So, you know, and that helps too with as far as knowing which lane to turn in, especially if you're on the opposite side of the road that you're used to being on. But no, it wasn't crazy busy or anything like that. It was a good place to learn how to drive on the opposite side of the road that you're used to.
That's a good tip, because I'm just imagining somebody from England or something trying to drive around Los Angeles or New York or Houston at rush hour or anything. And oh, God bless anyone who tries that if they're not used to driving on the right side of the road. So it's good to know.
I don't think I would even want to drive in Houston at rush hour.
I definitely would not.
Yeah, U.S. traffic is crazy. We just moved to Las Vegas and the streets are like 17 lanes. I swear, there's a lot to be confused by. So I hear that food is actually really good in South Africa too. Can you tell us about any particularly memorable cuisines that you guys had there?
There was one meal that was way spicier than I thought it would be, and I about died.
It was really good.
It was good. It was the Mozambican chicken or something like that. It was good.
But I love spice though.
Yeah, so. I'm a baby when it comes to spice. There was a lot of great steak, I would say. And then at the game lodge as well, there was a lot of game food. That was really neat too. But I think just about every meal we had was good there. It was pretty varied. You know, different spices, different flavors to things. The wine, of course, you know, South Africa is known for their wines. We went to several vineyards and wineries. Mackenzie's over here shaking her head like, yes. So yeah, that's definitely a cool experience too in South Africa. They're beautiful. You know, they're set at, the vineyards are set against the mountains, and lots of great food at those places as well.
When you say game food, do you mean like sampling antelope or other
things? Yeah, like antelope and springbok.
The menu at our hotel at the game lodge had changed every day. So you never had the same options every day, which was kind of nice to switch it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was at the game lodge. Yeah, so that, you know, there's all kinds of different things to experience, you know, maybe different foods that you've never tried before.
What did it all taste like? Like, for anybody who doesn't know, what is a springbok, first of all? And then does it taste like beef jerky, like deer, venison?
A springbok is a tiny little antelope, honestly the size of like a golden retriever dog. They were tiny.
They were.
Yeah, it's kind of like a gamey flavored steak. If you ever had venison, it's similar to that. Of course, they have all kinds of different preparations and different sauces and things like that as well.
So we talked about lots of different flight options, road tripping, hotels, food, excursions. Anything else about South Africa that you think is particularly noteworthy that you'd like to share today?
I think the biggest thing is to spend as much time as you can.
Yeah.
Like I said, we only got to do a small portion of the garden route, and we were there for 10 days.
Even just the small towns that we drove through just to stop over, like we could have spent a full day or two there. And really most of those places we just had breakfast and then kept driving and stopping along the way.
Yeah. And we had a few days that where the weather wasn't ideal.
That's pretty much been our year.
Yeah. That was probably the most disappointing thing is that we had, when all the locals are like, oh, this weather's horrible. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, it wasn't supposed to be like this, but you know, you make the most of it.
When we say bad weather, like sitting in at the game lodge in the vehicle, like soaking wet,
wearing ponchos
that, and you were still wet, like it poured rain, it was cloudy. But that day, our guide said, you know, you're probably not going to see anything with the weather. And we're like, hey, we're here. We're still going to go. We saw the lions that day more than anything.
Yeah, the lions basically walked right up to the vehicle. And previously, we'd only seen them laying down in the field far away. So
and they
like,
just looked like rocks from those days. So.
So, you know, that was definitely a cool experience, you know, especially because we went in with that day on low expectations and then, you know, got to see a lion about five feet away from us.
I can't believe we've already recorded more than 100 podcast episodes. It feels like we just started yesterday, but we've already covered so many great points and mile strategies on this show and have many more to come. If you're new to this show or looking to level up your points game quickly, I offer a bunch of resources at geobreezetravel.com/start here. It includes links to free consults, free trials to some of my favorite points tools, and also links to services like group coaching, which start at only $5 per session through the Patreon. Again, that's geobreezetravel.com/start here, which I have linked for you in the show notes. And speaking of the Patreon, this week's Patreon shout out goes out to Terry. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community.
That was a moment I will never forget. Kind of terrifying, but really cool.
Yeah, what happens if they get too close?
We never really asked that, but we're going to assume that the guys are prepared. We'll say that.
But they don't really tell you like what to do if something happens.
Yeah.
They just say stay in the vehicle.
Yeah, we'll assume they'll just floor it and get out of there.
Are these vehicles really reinforced or anything? Or are they just like open where if a lion really did just want to...
It's open air.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you've been to Animal Kingdom and done the... the kind of drive through the safari at Disney World, it's that same exact type of vehicle.
Oh, so things can just jump straight in.
Yeah.
But I think they pretty much said they see things as...
Yeah, like it's kind of like if you're... They see the whole vehicle. They don't see the individuals in the vehicle.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, I can't take down that vehicle. Now, if you were to jump out, then they'll be like, oh, I can take down that little human. So as long as you stay in the vehicle, you should be good. These specific lions have been raised in captivity, and then they have been brought out to this game reserve, basically rescued from captivity. So these lions were a little bit more used to humans. They weren't entirely wild, but they're still, you know, they're still free roaming and
I still wouldn't risk it, but
huge, you know.
All right. Well, that sounds like an amazing adventure for anybody who wants to try out safaris. I've heard that South Africa is one of the nicest places to go on game drives. So
I will warn you, going to a regular zoo after going to South Africa, just not the same, unfortunately.
Oh, I assume it would be such a sad, sad experience where you're like, oh man, everything's in like a tiny box.
You can't just reach out and touch them if you really wanted to.
Not that you'd want to reach out and touch them.
Did you reach out and touch any animals?
No, we did
absolutely not.
No.
I'm like, obviously not a lion, but like a giraffe or anything.
We did have, there was a couple of antelope that walked by the pool that one day when.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They just walked right by the pool. We, you know, we were in the pool and there's some antelope walked by. So that's pretty cool. I guess that would be about the equivalent as like in Kentucky, a white-tailed deer walking by. It's kind of like just the deer of South Africa.
If I saw a puma or something walking through the street, equivalent of a lion, I would freak out a lot. So I don't know if I'd handle seeing a lion very close to me any better.
Yeah, they are. I'll definitely say that they're much larger when you see them up close in person than they seem in the zoo or on TV. I mean, their paws are bigger than your face for sure. They're just massive creatures.
So any other last tips for anyone looking to travel to South Africa?
The biggest thing I think is just be flexible and be creative. You know, I will say we got a little bit lucky, but we did kind of use all the resources we could, especially Expert Flyer, to make it happen. You know, but you might not be able to just search from your home airport and find a flight all the way to South Africa, or even from a hub airport all the way to South Africa. That's where those positioning flights come into play. So definitely do that. And then, like I said, if you need to break it up, you know, fly to Europe first. There's a ton of flights from Europe down to South Africa. You know, it'll cost you more points there. But like you mentioned, Air Canada does have the stopover option, and that's a great way to do it as well. You know, if maybe it doesn't have the less than 24-hour connection, but it's the 2 days, you can add those extra points on, do that stopover, and then make that trip happen that way as well.
Good tips. Speaking of good tips, can you guys give a shout out to somebody else on the internet who listeners should go follow for more points and miles tips?
One that is super unique. I mean, we're trying to think of ones that haven't been featured on here before because you have so many great creators on here and, you know, you talk to so many great people, is Will Luxury Travel. It's will.luxurytravel. He's based out of the UK and he kind of has a unique way of finding points and miles deals and also kind of cheap business class, you know, business class, first class tickets that are actually paid. But it's through using different types of positioning flights. So he's in the UK and he'll fly to somewhere random like Serbia to then get Emirates first class for super cheap. So he has lots of great reviews and he has a great YouTube channel, various business class and first class products, and also the different ways that he uses points and miles, or he uses different positioning tricks to get those great deals. So it's Will Luxury Travel, will.luxurytravel. Super cool guy, super great content as well.
I have definitely used that YouTube content whenever I'm traveling onto a business class airplane or a first class flight that I haven't experienced before, just to kind of figure out, okay, what do I expect? And what's the food going to be like? What's the service like? What's the pre-departure lounge situation? His videos and reviews are really good for all of that information.
Yeah, I sometimes find myself just, you know, sitting down just watching random reviews just to see, you know, he's pretty entertaining and has a great way of presenting information as well.
Those are both true. He is pretty funny, and I'll just leave it at that. Go check out his content. They're very entertaining videos. And where can we find you guys on the
internet? Right now, we are pretty much only on Instagram. It's at @adventure_parks. And that's because our last name is Parks. That's where that comes from. We are working on a website. It will be adventureparkstravel.com. And we'll hopefully have that up, I don't know, maybe within the next month. We'll have lots of great resources there. And we're trying to work on how we want that website to operate. Maybe not the standard travel blog. We're leaning towards it being a little bit more towards resources. So like quick reference on, you know, alliance partners or quick reference on transfer partners, you know, different information about various airports. So we'll have some travel blog type stuff as well. But we really want it to be a resource for people to be able to use, especially when they're just starting out with their points and miles journey, to kind of, you know, those technical things, the alliances and different hub airports, to kind of know those little details that will help you in your travel journey ultimately in the future. But that's not quite launched yet. We do have the URL. You can go there. It's just kind of a coming soon page, but hopefully within the next couple of months, we'll say it'll be ready to go.
There's always a lag whenever I record these episodes versus when they actually launch. So by then, definitely check out that URL, guys, because it could be live.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it might not have all the features initially. We might go ahead and launch it with kind of limited features, but we're going to try to get that going as soon as possible. We also have a newsletter. If you go to our Instagram page @adventure_parks and go to the link in bio, you can sign up for that newsletter for free. That's kind of just a recap of each week of the things we talk about, the different deals that are going on. It's to kind of supplement the Instagram page, so some things you might miss. And there's also some special deals in there as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys so much for coming onto the show today. We learned a lot about positioning flights and how to travel to South Africa with points and miles and lots of other gems. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!